1. The Adamites enter Europe. Before the last Adamites were driven out of the Euphrates Valley, many of their brethren had entered Europe as adventurers, teachers, traders, and warriors. During the earlier days of the Violet Race, the Mediterranean trough was protected by the Gibraltar Isthmus and the Sicilian land bridge. Some of man's very early maritime commerce was established on these inland lakes, where blue men from the north and the Saharans from the south met Nadites and Adamites from the east. In the eastern trough of the Mediterranean, the Nadites had established one of their most extensive cultures, and from these centers had penetrated somewhat into southern Europe, but more especially into northern Africa. The broad-headed Nadite Andonite Syrians very early introduced pottery and agriculture in connection with their settlements on the slowly rising Nile Delta. They also imported sheep, goats, cattle, and other domesticated animals, and brought in greatly improved methods of metalworking, Syria then being the center of that industry. For more than 30,000 years, Egypt received a steady stream of Mesopotamians, who brought along their art and culture to enrich that of the Nile Valley. But the ingress of large numbers of the Sahara peoples greatly deteriorated the early civilization along the Nile, so that Egypt reached its lowest cultural level some 15,000 years ago. But during earlier times, there was little to hinder the westward migration of the Adamites. The Sahara was an open grazing land overspread by herders and agriculturists. The Saharans never engaged in manufacture, nor were they city builders. They were an indigo black group which carried extensive strains of the extinct green and orange races. But they received a very limited amount of the violet inheritance before the upthrust of land and the shifting water-laden winds dispersed the remnants of this prosperous and peaceful civilization. Adam's blood has been shared with most of the human races, but some secured more than others. The mixed races of India and the darker peoples of Africa were not attractive to the Adamites. They would have mixed freely with the red man had he not been far removed in the Americas, and they were kindly disposed toward the yellow man, but he was likewise difficult of access in faraway Asia. Therefore, when actuated by either adventure or altruism, or when driven out of the Euphrates Valley, they very naturally chose union with the blue races of Europe. The blue men, then dominant in Europe, had no religious practices which were repulsive to the earlier migrating Adamites, and there was great sex attraction between the violet and the blue races. The best of the blue men deemed it a high honor to be permitted to mate with the Adamites. Every blue man entertained the ambition of becoming so skillful and artistic as to win the affection of some Adamite woman, and it was the highest aspiration of a superior blue woman to receive the attentions of an Adamite. Slowly, these migrating sons of Eden united with the higher types of the blue race, invigorating their cultural practices while ruthlessly exterminating the lingering strains of Neanderthal stock. This technique of race blending, combined with the elimination of inferior strains, produced a dozen or more virile and progressive groups of superior blue men, one of which you have denominated the Cro-Magnons. For these and other reasons, not the least of which was more favorable paths of migration, the early waves of Mesopotamian culture made their way almost exclusively to Europe. And it was these circumstances that determine the antecedents of modern European civilization.